Coming up on Dig It.
I've always been a hopeless romantic, to be honest with you, because I read so much freaking Jane Austen. I'm like, oh, life's so romantic. But actually, life can be shit.
The best romantic gesture Steve can do these days is put the bins out. When he does that, I am sold. The next day in assembly, they were like, we've had somebody doing some damage to some school property. Who was it that wrote this? And I had to put my hand up and go, it was me.
Oh, for God's sake.
For some reason, I keep thinking of Olivia Newton-John and Physical. Obviously, that was not, didn't wake up any sexual urges in me.
It's all right. Olivia Newton-John kind of awaken your sexual urges.
Upon further inspection, I realised that they were cooked trout's eyes.
What?
Oh, my God.
All of that right after this. Dig It is sponsored by Starling, the bank that helps you organise your money, build great habits and stay in control of your spending. We talk a lot on this show about how a great garden starts with a bit of a plan and the right environment. Well, money is the same. It's not just about what you have. It's about being intentional with it. How we choose to spend, save and plan. That's what really shapes the way we live.
That is so true. Being good with money isn't about being perfect. It's about building a relationship with your finances that actually works for you and your life. And that's what Starling is all about. They believe that with the right tools, anyone can grow those healthy habits.
One habit I found so helpful is separating your spending. It's that peace of mind of knowing exactly what's for the bills, what's for the fun stuff, and what's actually left over.
And that's a tool that Starling offers in their app. They call it Spaces. It's basically a pot of money sitting within your Starling current accounts, kept separate from your main balance, so you're never dipping into the wrong pot by accident.
I desperately need one for the garden. Anyone who knows me knows my plant budget can get, well, a little out of hand.
Exactly. And you can even create free virtual debit cards linked to each space, so you can only ever spend what you've planned to, making life that little bit easier.
Search Starling to find out more. Good with money starts here. Hello, Joe. How are you, darling?
I'm good.
Have you recovered from your very busy weekend?
Yeah. I'm not hurting. The pain is subsiding, thank God. Oh, the worst, when you do those runs, the funniest thing, and I think you see it after any kind of run, part run, half marathons, people trying to go downstairs because you're like the bit behind your knee, I think it's the IT band. Ooh. It's so painful. So that's easing up. I can get out of chairs more easily now. So yeah, it's all good. It's all fine. I've got birthdays galore going on at the moment. So India.
I know.
And Cass.
April is a really busy time for birthdays.
There's
I must say, happy birthday to my Ian, who's 60 this week. Ronnie, my nephew, Juno, my niece, Kitty Ray, and Ellis and Osley. Osley's my godson.
Osley.
So many birthdays. Yeah, he's a twin with Ellis. Just bought him some Transformers, Robots in Disguise. I've had to buy them both the same, you know, because I don't want them to fight over them. But yeah, so many birthdays. If we work that 9 months back, when is that? Is that like Hot Summer Loving or something?
You know, neither of us can do maths at the best of times.
April
is the fourth month.
What is that? Like July?
My head's hurting. September, October, November, December, January, February, March, April, May.
August.
Holidays.
August. Holidays.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Those hot, balmy nights. Everybody getting jiggy with it.
I really hope we make people feel a lot better about themselves by just being so stupid on this podcast.
That we have to add up months on our fingers. I think that's everyone.
My dad, I have to say happy birthday to my dad as well.
Oh, happy birthday, Joe's dad.
Then it's my sister's too. So yeah, Cass, India, dad, Francis.
That's a lot of birthdays in your household. Oh, happy birthday to everybody. Joe, can I say I tried your 5-minute lunch?
Oh, how was that?
Just remind our lovely diggers what your 5-minute lunch is, because when Joe read this list out, I must admit, I thought, what the heck?
Right. So if I have 5 minutes and I have to make myself a quick, nourishing and enjoying tasty meal, I will get a packet of Ainsley Harriet's Moroccan medley couscous. I will mix up with some boiling water and it fluffs up in about 3 minutes. I'll get some vegetable soup. I'll get some hummus and I'll get some pineapple cottage cheese. I will take a dollop. I'll make the couscous, pour in the soup, dollop in the hummus, dollop in the cottage cheese, and then eat them. Don't mix it up together because that would be disgusting. But you just kind of take a little bit of cottage cheese, mix it up, take some hummus, and just, yeah, and enjoy. Did you?
Okay, you said this, my stomach churned. I bought the soup. I got the Heinz one. I couldn't find the Ainsley. So you'd also said that you'd done it with rice. So I rice, like a 2 minute microwave rice.
That's also good.
I mean, even there's something even weird about pouring in the vegetable soup, that slight smell. I was like, oh, I don't know. Because I always have tomato. But I poured it in, I put in the rice, and they'd run out of pineapple cottage cheese because there'd been a rush on it. But I had to get mango cottage cheese,
good.
The sweeteners.
Yeah.
And I had the hummus. I approached this with some trepidation. I must admit, I was thinking, this looks disgusting.
And
do you know what, Joe?
No!
It is not disgusting.
Oh, it's not disgusting. You liked it.
I freaking loved it.
Yes.
It's delicious. So I put a dollop of the hummus in it and I put a dollop of the cottage cheese in, and I didn't mix it round because it's almost like I knew, don't mix it.
Yeah.
And who knew? The sweetness of the mango in the cottage cheese.
Yes.
And then the flavour of the hummus with the rice and the vegetable soup. It is so healthy and hearty and really goddamn tasty.
I know.
And I take my hat off to you for coming up with this insane concoction. I don't even know how you invented it. It's what was going on in your life when you came across this weird mix?
I think it was being a student. I think it's like literally going back to my student days. Occasionally you can put grated cheese on top if you just want a little bit more carbs on there. You can also, another thing I do is get, you know, you get kidney beans in chili sauce.
Yes.
If you just take some of those and you pour that in as well, that's an added extra flavour, but maybe that's a bit more advanced.
That might just take me to
too far.
Just let me, I'm at just a beginner's level, Joe.
Oh, I'm so happy.
I'm happy to stay here for a bit. It was freaking delicious.
Did you take a photo?
I did a little video. I haven't edited Amazing. It together. And I actually had it for breakfast today.
Oh, God, because you weirdo.
I really wanted to try it, but I'd had a tummy bug and I hadn't really wanted to eat it, funnily enough. I hadn't wanted to eat anything. And I was thinking, oh, I'm not ready for this. And then I remembered this morning I wanted to try it and I'm feeling much better. And I tried it and I did think, oh, this is going to go one way or the other. It's delicious. In fact, look, I've got the remnants here, which looks a bit gross now, but you can have it cold. But I'm going to have that for my lunch.
MasterChef, here I come.
MasterChef next for Joe.
Or maybe Bake Off.
Love it.
If you're loving Dig It so far, hit follow or subscribe, and that way you'll get new episodes, brand new episodes, as soon as they're out. Okay, let's see what our diggers have to say for this week. We've got Lucy first up, who said, hi, Joe and Zoe. I loved following everything about the Artemis II astronauts as they flew around the moon. The moment that really touched me was when they named the newly discovered crater on the far side of the moon after Commander Reed's late wife, Carol. I don't think I've ever seen anything so romantic. Did you see this? I'd love to know what's the most romantic thing that ever has been done for you or for someone you know. It was really beautiful, wasn't it? That's from Lucy, by the way. Thanks, Lucy.
Oh, Lucy, thank you. I know. I think we have all been obsessed. There's a fantastic guy on Instagram called Witty Idiot, and he'd actually put, he literally gave his wife the moon. It's like, oh my gosh. There was something so captivating about these four incredibly brave people doing something that, you know, this feat of, just the fact that it had been so long since the astronauts had been to the moon, and all the comparisons that have been incredible of the, you know, the capsule that went last time and seeing those little diagrams and the technology and how it's come on and how they've learned the path they should take, and seeing these incredibly brave people, these four incredible people, especially while it's running alongside the most horrific news and the wars that are going on, where we look and we feel so helpless as this mass destruction and hatred and wars that feel that they're never going to come to an end. There's no conclusion to it. It's, which is so frightening for everybody, and how that is affecting everybody world over with prices of everything and the chaos. To have this story of, you know, the most brilliant feats of all those incredible scientists who've put this together. I think this is another thing. When you look at the scientists and the engineers that have worked on this mission, their average ages is something like 25.
But their brains are fresh and sharp and brilliant. Yeah.
And then we see these four people whose, you know,
whose lives have been building up to this moment. It's just been incredible to watch. And I did actually sit up on, was it Friday night last week, to watch them land? Because they were coming down just as I was going to bed. And I think it was that thing that it had all gone so well and we'd all been so moved and so gripped. And those incredible images of Earth and how they kept saying, you know, look at our planet, look how
beautiful,
how precious this is, how amazing this planet is. We've got to look after it. We've got to look after each other. I think we've all been moved by all of these astronauts and just wanted to know that they would get back to Earth safely and they would be okay. So I was like, I've got to stay up and watch it. And my aunt, you know, I was really, really tired. I was like, come on. And I kept sort of nudging, going, they're down, they're safe. And then I wanted to watch them, just watching them come back in. You know, the temperatures that capsule will have been at to come through the Earth's atmosphere is, and then you can see now the videos of them inside at that moment when the temperature was, what was it, you know, half the temperature of the sun, the capsule. Just watching the pressure their bodies are under as well in that moment. And you just wanted to see them. I was thinking, I was imagining they were going to just open a hatch and pop out and be like, hi. But obviously it took quite a long time. And the classic thing, they've gone past the moon, they've gone around the moon and they've come back. But then there's a communication issue with some of the tech just being able to talk back and forth to the capsule to base.
There was a toilet issue, wasn't there, as well, I think?
Yeah. Oh, there was a toilet issue when they went up.
Yeah.
But seeing them being helped out onto that amazing porch with the divers and everybody, and then them getting on, you know, getting onto the boat, being winched off by helicopter to see them back and safe and then reunited with their families. My goodness me, what an amazing thing for us all to witness. Some of the best live telly I have watched in a long, long time. And there was also someone who said, recreate the pod landing by getting 3 Tunnicks cakes and an espresso martini. An espresso pod and create them coming down. Oh, I thought it was amazing. And yes, you're right, Lucy. How romantic. Most romantic thing that someone's done for you, Joe.
I think I've said this before, but it's when Steve tracked down the same model of car that I had when I first learned to drive. So it was a Renault 4 and it was the duck egg blue with the gear stick up here. And he parked it down the end of the lane and he got it for me for my birthday. And I was taken outside, walked down the lane. And then there was this car that I recognised as being my very first car. And that was amazingly romantic. I mean, he's such a sweetheart. He is incredibly romantic. But that was a big gesture. So that was lovely, really lovely.
That is a huge gesture, isn't it?
What about you?
I think, do you know, it's really reminded me of, you know, and this wasn't done as a romantic thing, but Woody has a great friend called Howard, who is a fantastic character. And Howard, when we lost my mum, Howard bought a star for my mum, for Woody, for his granny, named after her. And I just thought, Howard, what a gorgeous thing to do. Because I've always taught my kids to talk to the stars. I'm like, look, they're all up there around us, their energy, watching over us, all these lost loved ones. And I thought that was such a gorgeous thing to do for his friend. Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah.
Do you know what? These days, I don't really want grand romantic gestures. Do you know what I like these days? Just like a little note. If you get a little note or a card. I got a card the other day. And because obviously I now complain. Because, you know, when you first start seeing people, it's all romantic gestures. And then as life goes on, it gets in the way. And those things can be different. So now it's like little romantic gestures, like an occasional note or somebody remembers that you like something and they've bought that for you. Or you're like, that is a lovely thing. And I'm all about the little gestures now. You know, but I've always been a hopeless romantic, to be honest with you, because I read so much freaking Jane Austen and watched too many rom-coms and dramas. I'm like, oh, life's so romantic. But actually, life can be shit and it can be really unromantic and really tough.
No, the best romantic gesture Steve can do these days is put the bins out. When he does that, I am sold. I'm like, I love you so much for doing all the bins and not forgetting any of them. That is it. That's the dream. So yeah, that's all he has to do.
They are the romantic gestures that we long for. And I love a little note left.
Well, on the theme of that, Jude once, when he was really young, he got like a sweet jar and he just filled it with lots of bits of paper. And he'd written on all the bits of paper things about me that he loved. And it's still upstairs in my bedroom. And I sometimes go into it when I'm feeling a bit miserable and I get the notes out and I read them. And it's just like, you know, you've got a great smile or things like that. And it just, oh my God, it cheers me up. And it's just, I will keep that until the day I die.
That is a gorgeous thing to do. I think there's going to be loads of people stealing that idea now.
It's the nicest thing to do for anybody. Honestly, just tell them why you love them, things you like about them. It just boosts their confidence and makes them feel loved. It was gorgeous.
How big is the jar? That could be a big jar.
No, it's a teeny... No, it's like those miniature jam jars.
Anyone in this family, they would be lucky to fit a miniature hotel-style jam jar.
Yeah, that's it.
What are the things you love about me, kids? Oh, is that it?
Coco also did a similar kind of thing. She wrote down things that she loved about me, and she cut that out because she's creative. She cut them out into hearts, and she'd drawn hearts on all of them. And I got back from doing my show on Valentine's night, and they were all leading to the bedroom. They were all the way up the stairs and then led into the bedroom. And that was from her for Valentine's. And I've got those. I've still got those on the wall all over the place.
Yeah, I've kept a lot of the kids' notes, the little... My favourite things from the kids are the notes that I've kept where they'd apologised for things and written, you know, and often with great spelling mistakes, like Woody's got dyslexia. So there's some of the spellings are amazing. Just like, I'd really like to just say that I'm really sorry about that thing. And I keep those. There's also a really brilliant one I found of Woody's, which was, I think, a conversation between him and a young friend, possibly about naughty images. And it says, lesbians liking each other, which I think was possibly supposed to say something different. And I've kept that for Woody's, you know, wedding, any big occasion that will be put up on a big
That'll come
screen.
Out. That'll be out.
Lesbians liking each other. What are they doing? What are those girls doing?
So cute.
Oh, God.
Recently, Hannah got in touch looking for advice about how to tell her parents that she wanted to move away. Helen has sent us this voice note.
Hi, Joe and Zoe. Thank you so much for the podcast. It always is a weekly treat. I met my husband over 30 years ago. He's Australian. And we then lived together in England for 12 years, 3 miles away from my parents. It became very clear after 12 years that he was very homesick. So I realised that we had to make a move over to Australia, and that was very, very painful, and I wasn't sure how I was going to tell my parents. When I actually did tell them, they just received the news with such grace and optimism and felt this is our lives and not their lives, and we had to do what was right for our family. You can imagine the process of packing up and saying farewell was very difficult. But to project now 20 odd years ahead, my parents moved out after a year of us being here, which was totally unplanned. They too emigrated and they lived around the corner. My dad has since died, but my mum still lives around the corner. It opened up their lives to new experiences, new relationships. And I think when you're going through a big change like that, you focus on what you're losing rather than what you're going to gain. Yeah. And I've tried to repeat that mantra to myself when big changes have happened, because we do have a very fulfilling life here together and we've had some wonderful experiences within the extended family. I hope that helps, Hannah, and all the very best.
Oh,
amazing.
Helen, what an amazing message. Helen, I actually need to write that down. It's not what you're losing, it's what you're gaining. This is so good when big changes come along. I'm going to get that tattooed or put on a tea towel. That's so good. We do. We think about the negatives sometimes, don't we? And we must think about the positives. That's so great. How fabulous that they ended up moving out there with you. I was thinking, Helen, you could pick up a little tiny bit of sort of an Australian influence on her accent there.
Absolutely.
She's been there so long.
Yeah.
How wonderful.
Oh. Thank you for sharing. That will have helped, I'm sure, quite a lot of people. And I can't begin to imagine how difficult it was at the time. But yeah, the long-term benefits, amazing.
A few weeks ago, we had a message from Leanne. Do you remember about the chocolate stealing squirrels?
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Well, Laura has now been in touch and she says, hi, both. Yes to the chocolate eating squirrels. We have them too. Wow. This is a thing. We used to hold an Easter egg hunt in the local park. Maybe this is why. Every Easter weekend, where we'd hide around 700 eggs for local kids. This is why. After a year or two, squirrels got wise to it and started to follow us as we hid the eggs.
God.
We kept noticing bits of foil at the bottom of trees and then realised, much to our disbelief, that the squirrels had been swiping eggs before the kids had even arrived. Sometimes they'd run off with an egg wrapped in foil. Other times they'd rip off the foil and chow down there and then. It was hilarious. With cream eggs, always a firm favourite, even with the squirrels, I'm sure we may have been responsible for many a sugar rush in the squirrel community. So, Laura, it's all your fault. She has sent us a picture of a squirrel eating some kind of mini egg there.
Yeah,
so this
cream
is
egg, I reckon.
Obviously where this whole debacle began.
I keep finding Easter eggs in my garden at the moment, like the ones that the kids had missed when we did the
Easter
egg hunt.
Oh, I know, it's so lovely,
day,
isn't it?
Oh,
when you're
really
like,
sweet.
When you're doing the weeding, you're like, oh, yeah. I love that. It's in foil. Keep me going. But now squirrels are chalk addicts because of the kids. It's terrible, really, isn't it? It's not good. Anyway, squirrels, we can only apologise. But I do love the fact that the cream eggs are a favourite, even amongst the squirrels.
Amongst the squirrel fraternity, yeah. Another message. Recently, we had Laura write in about her son adopting a speculum as a toy. And some of you had equally hilarious things that your kids have become attached to.
Oh, no.
Polly wrote, my son took a liking to a turkey meat baster and took it with him everywhere he went and would not go to sleep without it.
That's a squeezy thing at the end.
Yeah, probably.
I can
it's quite
see
soft.
The appeal.
Yeah.
You know, the squeezy. That's brilliant. Rachel sent us this voice note.
Hi, Joe. Hi, Zoe. It's one of your diggers here, Rachel. Just ringing in about the unusual things that your children used to have as toys. My then 7-year-old son, Will, used to like to collect things, model cars, aeroplanes, motorbikes, etc. Then one day I was having to dust all of these fiddly little models and I chanced upon a little tin. Well, I opened it and to my disgust, there was a collection of little white balls about the size of sherbet pips. Remember those girls?
Oh, yes.
Upon further inspection, I realised that they were cooked trout's eyes. I was flummoxed.
What?
Oh, my God.
3 weeks earlier, I'd cooked them all a trout. And he'd gone round and collected all the fish eyes off everyone's plates and put them in his tin. Lord knows
gross.
How long he was going to keep them or what he was going to use them for.
Oh, my God.
Anyway, you had to love him. He's 30 now and we never let him forget it. Lovely show. Take care. Bye.
What a bizarre thing.
That's such a boy thing, isn't it? Go and pop the eyes out and be like, oh,
fascinating.
God. I mean, it's good, really, in a way. You're encouraging kids to get into biology and how fascinating and it's that we're all
eyeballs,
creatures of the earth.
Fish eyeballs.
But eyeballs. Oh, that's gross. And he kept them in a tin. Oh,
I'm amazed that they're that hard.
Oh, gross. Do you remember having to dissect eyes?
Oh, I hated all of
it. I remember doing that. I remember quite a few, you know, people running around with them on their fingers. Oh,
no, disgusting.
It's like, for goodness sake. And I didn't do the hearts. I didn't want to do it.
No.
I mean, I can't even watch. We've been watching sort of dramas at the moment. I was watching Scarpetta and that, like, you know, she's
hard.
And she's cutting into bodies and they're fake bodies. They're not even real.
Yeah.
I cannot watch anything gruesome like that. Do you remember that amazing doctor who did the dissection live on telly?
Yes.
I could not watch it. I can't.
No way. Honestly,
doctors and nurses, you're all amazing. And thank God you don't mind, you know, digging deep into our bodies and saving our lives and stuff like that. But I'm such a wuss. I can't see things like that.
No, not at all. I remember we had to dissect a worm and we all had a worm in our science lessons. And, you know, it was alive when we got it. We were kids. We were probably about 12, I think. And so we had this worm. We called it Wally, the worm, obviously. And we had to put it into a glass of something. And then it died. And then we had to dissect it. I found it really traumatic.
That's really traumatic.
I know. I mean, really, what was the point? But then I got a compass and I etched into the desk, RIP Wally, our worm. And then the next day in assembly, they were like, we've had somebody doing some damage to some school property. Who was it?
For God's sake.
Wrote this. And I had to put my hand up and go, it was me. And then I got detention. I had to go and clean the desks for a few days.
Why didn't they get detention for traumatizing children and making them kill a worm before they dissect it? I mean, why couldn't they do that bit in another room before traumatizing the children?
You know, you just have these deep childhood memories. I bet our diggers have got loads of these because there are just certain things that stand out in your memory, when like of deep shame and embarrassment. I've always felt mortified about that. Like, I've always felt really guilty. I hate being told off. hate it more than anything in the world. I hate being told off. And so the fact that I got told off at school and I had to do detention, it was me. Oh my God. It's a stigma that stayed with me, obviously, to now.
I think that was a great protest. You know, I thought you'd show, yeah. You see, these days surely that should be rewarded. For,
yeah, I think so. Yeah. Anti-vivisection. That's what I was. Yeah,
exactly.
But any diggers right now, if you've got moments of shame from your childhood that you can remember, tell us and we'll tell everybody else. Thank you.
share with us. You know, it's like therapy. It's like therapy for any kind of, you know, PTSD years later caused by school incidents and shame.
You'll feel much better. We'll all laugh. It works. Yeah, it'll be great. Okay, another question, and this is from Tony, who said, am I alone in thinking that an entire generation of women had their sexual awakening, not in real life, but through MTV? I'm pretty sure Fives, if you're getting down, I wasn't expecting Five. Yeah, if Fives, if you're getting down, video altered my brain chemistry. I would love to know, is there a music video that you could pin down to your sexual awakening? Oh, God.
Oh, God.
I think you're absolutely right. Five is not the band or the video that I would think of. I think mine would be Madonna. It would be a Madonna type of video, I think.
Musically, it would have been probably more Pearl Jam, Eddie Vedder. Although I quite liked Steve from Pearl Jam. He was quite hot. I mean, like any kind of grungy guys. I guess originally it probably would have been maybe Nick Hayward. I had a big crush on Nick Hayward.
Yeah.
I quite fancied the Tears for Fears boys, but I don't feel like there were sexual videos. Awakenings. More really, music videos didn't really do it for me in that way. I think it would probably be more the Brat Pack. I think like The Outsiders, all the cast of The Outsiders and young Brat Pack actors, they were the ones. I mean, originally it was like Montgomery Clift. I used to like the really old movie stars. I'm not
This is
that
so far
old,
removed just, from Tony's question. It's hilarious.
I know. Yeah, I think the grunge guys and the Brat Pack were my sexual awakening.
Yeah. I don't know. I think Madonna obviously always did really sexy videos, and for some reason I keep thinking of Olivia Newton-John and Physical. Obviously that was not didn't wake up any sexual urges in me, but I remember she used to
It's all right, Olivia Newton-John could have awakened your sexual urges. That could I mean I think she awoke a lot of people's sexual urges.
Yeah, she did. Yeah. No, I honestly can't think of any videos, but maybe we'll come back to this one. Maybe we'll go and do some research and look at some old MTV performances or videos.
Do you know what? This is the thing where you are planting the seed, Tony, and we'll go away and go, oh my God, I've remembered now that I was completely in love.
Tony, we're going to go and do some research and I'm
sure we're going to have a think.
Diggers will chip in as well with your own memories of great videos. There must be videos, there must be, and I'm racking my brain now. I think that's it. For this week.
That's it for this week. I'm going off to finish my fantastic breakfast, which is your brilliant concoction, Joe. Thanks for bringing that into my life.
Yeah, you're welcome.
And the next time we see you.
Yes. Oh my God, yes. I'll introduce you to our new puppy who's arriving on my dad's birthday. Yes, we get the puppy. I'll let you know what the name is and introduce you to him. It's very, very exciting. I bought so much paraphernalia, honestly. It's like I'm having a baby. I bought everything. Chews and bites and blankets and bedding and the whole lot. And I cannot wait. I'm so excited. All the family are.
It's like our very own Diggit puppy.
Yes.
Yeah. I must admit, there's been a distinct lack of Nemo. Is that because Nemo is now so large he can't get in the room?
No, it's because he's it's like the goodies cat. No, he's so naughty. He just won't sit still. I don't know if it's because he's a ginger cat, but yeah, he's a proper rascal. He's like the quickest. Yeah. He just dashes everywhere. So I'll try and bring him in and at some point in the future.
And I must ask, has the puppy got a name?
Yeah. No, we've got the name.
But there'll be a big reveal.
Yeah.
Excellent. We can't wait to meet him.
Oh,
have a lovely week. Bye, diggers.
Bye.
Dig It is a Persephonica production.
Hi, Greg James.
Oh, look, it's Alice Levine. We're here to invite you to the world's biggest podcast festival, Crossed Wires.
It's from the 2nd to the 5th of July. We are taking over iconic venues across Sheffield with some of the UK's biggest podcasts.
Including Ellis and John.
Elizabeth Day's bringing How to Fail.
The Blind Boy podcast. The Screen Rot podcast.
With a special guest.
That'll be me.
Bold Politics with Zach Polansky.
Jackmate's Happy Hour, British Scandal, I believe that's pretty good.
Guilty as charged.
And Danny Robbins' Cold Cases.
But also there's a whole entirely free Fringe programme as well. After parties, book signings, food and drink. We've basically got everything for an amazing weekend.
Tickets are on sale now. Head to crosswires.live to get yours.